hope you enjoyed that. That was something that I've been listening to that song all week. The more I listen to it, the more I think about this message that God's laid on my heart. I want to bring something to you tonight entitled The Christmas List. First of all, I want to thank you for your kindness and your goodness towards me and my family. We're overwhelmed by the love. And when I'm asked what I want for Christmas, all I really want is to come in here and see people worshiping the Lord. See people moving and people growing and God moving in this church. That's what I want. And I thank the Lord for what God's doing here. I really do, and I appreciate each and every one of you. But I want to talk about the Christmas list. And I've got one here. You know, about November, I tell my wife, I say, honey, you got the list? Y'all got a list? Everybody got a list? And I saw this, and it really, a couple of years ago, I taught Sunday school on this back in 2010. And I saw her making the list, and I picked it up, and I began to look at it. And I thought about how much it's changed. I thought about how many years that we've been together, and how when we first got together, my wife is a giver. And we first got married, I didn't make a whole lot of money. And she showed me the first Christmas list. And I said, whoa. My wife wanted to give everybody in the family something. She had every aunt and every uncle. And back then on Christmas Day, and I mentioned this earlier, we would go to two get-togethers on Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Day, we had three or four we tried to squeeze in. And we traveled, and I usually had to work the day after Christmas, and I was wore out. But she showed me that first Christmas list, and one time we tried to cover everybody. And you know what I thought? I thought, oh, we can't afford that. We can't do this. We can't do that. Okay, and you know what do? You set a limit. Here's what we're going to spend. We're going to try to do this. You know, as times went on, we're more blessed than we were. We have the ability to do more than we used to do. Kind of like I heard a preacher recently. He said he moved down here, I think he said, from Indiana to be close to his kids. And he's 84 years old. Moved down to be close to his kids, he said, but it's funny. He said, rather than them helping us, we've been helping them. Sometimes that's the way it is. But you know, if you have the ability to give and be a blessing, you ought to. You know, and that's kind of where we're at now. We have the ability to give, but there aren't near as many people on our list. And I began to go through the list, and I realized that a lot of those that were on our list are spending Christmas with Jesus. Now, I know that song is not your typical Christmas song, but it's what was on my heart. And I want to share with you the Christmas list. And I want to read one verse that we read this morning, and we'll try. This is obviously going to be different than this morning. But in Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, I want to first tell you about the reason for the list. The reason for the Christmas list is Christmas. So the reason for the list is Jesus. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So the Christmas list really is about Jesus, and it is his story. But we reap great benefits from what Jesus has done for us. You see, we get together in God's house, and this is God's house. And we come in here, and we're able to worship, and we sing songs, and we have fellowship. And, you know, isn't it beautiful the way it's decorated? Aren't we blessed to have what we have? And you know, this morning, and as they were singing, and those snowflakes were just coming down. To me, Christmas is a peaceful time. It's a time that you ought to be able, if you have your heart where it's supposed to be with God, to just be able to come into the house of the Lord and have peace and fellowship with God's people. So what the Christmas list does is it allows us to reap great benefits because of what Jesus has done for us. You know, sometimes I begin to think about the benefits that we receive. And, you know, if there's anyone here that has served or are serving actively in the military, you know, our soldiers have done a lot of things that have caused us to reap great benefits. We live in a country that is more protected, really, than any other country of the world. With the exception of very few incidents, we've had very little on the soil of this country. And when I see soldiers and I see them making their sacrifice that they do make and the work that they do, because of those soldiers, we reap great benefits. And I'm conscious of that. Anytime I hear any conversation to where they say, well, let's just go over there and take care of this, or let's just go take care of that. It's our sons and daughters that go take care of that. We reap those benefits. Then I think about, and I mentioned this on Wednesday night when we were sharing things about Christmas, the benefits that I have reaped because of the Father that I had. And I mentioned how the first Christmas that really stuck out in my mind when I realized the sacrifice that my mom and dad made for me to be able to go in on Christmas morning and see that spread. You see, on Christmas morning, we'd go in and there'd be presents and there'd be things there. But I can remember growing up, you know, for a period of time as a kid, you don't realize where all that comes from. You don't realize how much hard work and how much sacrifice goes into children being able to have the blessings that they have. But I think I was in about the seventh grade when I finally realized how hard my daddy worked. When I saw him get up and go to work when he had the flu, but he worked anyway. He'd go out of the house having chills and come in having chills, and he'd wear everything that he could wear, and he just kept working and he kept going even when he didn't realize it, when he couldn't do it. But he did it anyway. And we reaped those benefits when I was growing up, but it required a lot of hard work. There have been times in my life when I actually have looked at how God has treated me and been good to me, and I've thought, Lord, honestly, God is blessing me because of the faithfulness of my Father. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that way, but I've thought about it. I've thought about, God, have you blessed me because of the faithfulness that he had? Now, I don't know, you know, when we look at how God works, and we're going to get down into some scripture in just a minute, but I want to tell you that God does honor your faithfulness. So we're reaping great benefits, and the most important one, you know, we've got our soldiers and we've got our fathers, but we have a Savior. We have a Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that came into the world. And it's because of him that we can enjoy what we enjoy. It's because of our Savior that we can get together and we have the blessings and the benefits that we have. You know, we're living in a country today where people take it for granted. They don't recognize it. They even want to rewrite the history books. But I want to tell you, folks, it's because of a loving Savior in God that America has been blessed. It's because of God's goodness that we're able to come into the house of the Lord and we're able to reap the great benefits that we reap. It's because of our Lord. You see, because of what Jesus did, we get to celebrate. See, isn't that, you know, when we come together at Christmas time and we have all the get-togethers that we have, it's like the kids, you can hear them in this room over here. We heard them in this room over here this morning. Now, folks, it didn't bother me. I want them to have a good time. We're going to take care of our kids here. They're out here in this room and they're over here in this trailer and they're celebrating and they're enjoying the pizza and the Dr. Pepper and the things you don't want them to have right now. That's going to keep them up all night. They get to celebrate. Because Jesus paid it all. So when I look at this Christmas list and we look at all of the things that we have. You know, I mentioned having to take Luke shopping, just me and him, because he's got so much stuff he couldn't make a list. But by the way, when he got face to face, he found plenty of stuff, Brother Tommy. He found plenty of things. But why do we have it? We get to celebrate because Jesus paid the price. And I sat and I was thinking about this lesson and I thought of the words of a song, Jesus paid it all. And I got it out and I wrote one verse of it down. It says, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You see, we can celebrate because Jesus paid it all. We get together, and we get to get together. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes at Christmas or at Thanksgiving, you have those get-togethers that you may not want to get together. You know, I come into the house of the Lord on Sunday, and I'll be honest with you. Folks, I look forward to coming to church. I look forward to coming to church, and it's not just because I'm preaching. I love to go hear preachers preach the Word of God. I love to go hear singers sing about a Savior. And we get to do this because of what Jesus did for us. But I want you to understand, when we get together, He's in our midst. Do you realize He's with us? He didn't just go off and leave us. He said, I'll send you a comforter. And I thought about this scripture as I was studying this in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. It says, "Verily I say unto you, that whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." You see, we get to get together, but He's with us. And the truth is, sometimes when we get together in Christmas and family, it's not great for everybody. There's one get together that sometimes Kendra and I often go to, and I've actually had this conversation with her. I really wish we didn't have to do that. And you say, well, why? Because the truth is, our church family, we have fellowship with. We talk about the Lord. We talk about the goodness of the Lord. But there are those that sometimes you get together with, the truth is you're praying as you go through it that it'll work out right. But I want to get into this in just a minute, and I want you to see the opportunity you have. See, we get to celebrate. We get to get together, and it is a blessing. And what else do? We receive gifts. So, one thing about having a wife that's a giver, she'll give me anything I want, Brother Tommy. I mean, I'm careful to take advantage, not to take advantage of, let me get that right. But she will. Just, I'll say, honey, we don't have the money. Oh, get it, you baby, you work hard. She'll give me anything I want. Why do we get to receive the gifts? Jesus is the one that's done it all. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that gave us the opportunity to be here. Now you look at the story and you see where wise men brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. But let me tell you the greatest gift. Jesus gave us something much greater than that, and I like this verse. It's simple. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, folks, there's a lot of things that I could want. And when folks ask me, what do you really want? And this is, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's nothing I want other than 10,000 acres of prime hunting land in middle Georgia. If I could get that, that's really the only thing I want. I don't need a newer truck. My truck's fine. I don't need any more guns. I've got more than I can shoot. I don't need anything except 10,000 acres of prime hunting land in the Piedmont, somewhere around Joe Kerr's. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Don't matter. That's the only thing I want. I'm not going to get that. Here's the point. If you've got peace with God and you've got the things that you need to find contentment in that relationship with Him. Because the greatest gift you could ever receive is the gift of eternal life that comes through a living God. And when people struggle and want and are never satisfied, it's because they've never found contentment in a relationship with a living God. It doesn't mean you won't have issues or concerns as you go through life. But what is life all about? It's about Him. It's not about us. And we want to remember that. Jesus gave us the greatest gifts. So we look at the reason for the list. But I want you to look at the brevity of the list. And here's what I mean. Our Christmas list is ever changing. Every year, when I look at the Christmas list, it's different. It doesn't stay the same very long. The difference now, and I begin to think about it sometimes, and I thank the Lord for this, I have a grandson. He's not been on the list very long. And my wife buys him stuff, and more stuff, and more stuff. But that's a blessing to be able to do that. And the truth is, I'm just going to be honest with you, because I'm not the giver. I'm the stingy one of the two of us. I know y'all hate to hear that about me, but that's the truth. Over the years, I've realized, as the list changed, we need to take advantage of the opportunity we have while we have it. You see, in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12, this is a verse that really sticks into my heart when I start talking about these things. It says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Because life changes. You know, they showed the pictures a few minutes ago of the little children around the Christmas tree. We're thankful that our daughter is here with us. She just came in this week, but she's not going to be here long. She's going to go back to Virginia, and it'll probably be summer, Brother Tommy, before we see her again. And I can remember in the house that we live in now, the bedroom she had was where Luke is at. And we've been in this house, the only house we've ever bought, a long time. I can remember when we brought a little kitchen set in. And we had all the little dishes. And we had a little vanity with a little mirror. And all the little stuff that she would set in front of when she was 2 and 3 years old and fix her hair. I can remember as she began to grow up and the baby dolls that she would open. And the things that were around the house. You know, we moved into that house when we hadn't been married that long. And I looked at it and I thought, we will never fill this place up. That's what I thought. I thought, we'll never fill this house up. Now I look at it and I say, Lord, bring a dump truck. We got so much, and you have too, because God has blessed you. But as I begin to think about it, and I look at it, and I look at those pictures, I realize that it doesn't stay the same. And understanding the brevity of the list, I want to give you some things to think about. There is a need for priorities in your life. The most important thing in your life is God. You say, well, he may not be, but you know he ought to be. God ought to be first. And sometimes we say, family is second. But here's what I think we need to realize, is that family needs to be moved higher on the list. Because sometimes family is moved, even if it's second or wherever it's at, it's too far down. We don't realize the importance of the opportunity that we have, even in our own families, to be an influence, to show kindness. So we have to have our priorities right. The Christmas list also shows me something else. It shows me the need for forgiveness. You see, sometimes you get together with folks at Christmas and you don't want to get together with them. They don't want to get together with you either. But folks, life is short. And to forgive, and I've really had this on my heart, forgiveness is a privilege. You say, well, I've tried to forgive them, they won't receive it. Well, you release them to God. And you be what God wants you to be, and you love them anyway. Because you never know when you'll look at your Christmas list, and one of them won't be there. And you will have missed the opportunity that you have to show them the kindness and the love of God. There is a great need for forgiveness when we consider our Christmas list. There's also a need to share the gospel. You know, I mentioned about having some get-togethers that I just don't want to go to. There's one get-together that we go to that there'll be people there. It's the kind of get-together to where you put your pocketbook in the trunk. It's the kind of get-together when you're there, you really just hope that nothing happens to create problems. And I'm seeing a lot of people do this because a lot of people understand. I wish all of my natural family was saved and loved the Lord. I would like for them to be able to. But you know, even sometimes as I inwardly complain and maybe I mention things to my wife, you know what God's done? He's convicted me that this may be the only opportunity that you have this year to share Jesus with these people. And if you don't go and exemplify Christian character in front of them and show them the love of God, who will? And when we look at the Christmas list, sometimes there's obligation we have because we're God's people. And we ought to be what God wants us to be. So there's a need to share the gospel. And paralleled with that, there's the need to show the love of God to folks. You know, I've heard it said that we are His hands and we are His feet. And at some times, we are His mouthpiece. That carries a great amount of responsibility. But perhaps somebody on your Christmas list or in your life this year, you will be the only opportunity to show the love of God to that person. And when I think about that, it changes me. It changes me, and I want God to change me. And I'm not trying to be hyper-spiritual. I'm just like you. I want God to work in my life to help me to show Him to somebody. Because if they're going to see Jesus and I'm the one that's going to show Him to them, I need to be what God wants me to be. So you see this brevity of the Christmas list, that it's ever-changing, and it comes with great responsibility. And the last thing I want you to see is the responsibility of the Christmas list. See, I can remember when I was growing up what it was like to get in the back seat of the car, and we'd go down to grandmother's house, and we'd go down there. And I had a grandmother that made this chocolate cake, and she put pecans all over the top of it. Just lined them up. And when I would go to her house, when I walked in the door, here's what she'd say: "I made your cake. It's your favorite cake, and I don't care what you've eaten, you better get a piece of it. It's your favorite, whether you like it or not." But I can remember growing up and the traditions that we had. And I learned things from watching my parents. I learned things from watching how they dealt with our family. Because we have family now, we had family then. And I mentioned to you Wednesday night that my dad was a peacemaker. I watched how all that he wanted to do at Christmas was be able to get together and just have a time when the family could be at peace. That's all he wanted. And I begin to think about me and my responsibility with the Christmas list, my responsibility to be able to hand down the traditions of God and of righteousness to my children. That's a lot of responsibility. My responsibility to teach them the meaning of Christmas and what it really means. And my responsibility to prepare those who come after me. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse number 6, I want to read just a couple of verses with you. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." And as I look at that and I look at what it means, now obviously it's talking about walking in the law, following the law, teaching the word of God to your children. We as parents have a great responsibility. I want to read out of Psalms chapter number 1, just a couple of verses to you. I was going down the road the other day with my boys, and we were in Hiram, and there was a van that passed by. On the side of the van, all it said was, "Blessed is the man." Of course, Luke, he read it. He said, "Daddy, what does that mean?" All the way home, I told him. But I want to read this to you tonight. In Psalms chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Blessed is the man. When I look at my responsibility, I feel a tremendous... Sometimes, I'll just be honest, I feel overwhelmed. See, my dad's been gone 8 years. The first Christmas he wasn't there, my mother set a candle on the mantle. And we lit that candle. We had a moment of silence and remembrance of my dad, because nobody enjoyed Christmas more than him. And as I sat there and I looked at it, and I realized that the baton had been passed to me. My dad wasn't there to pray the blessing. My dad wasn't there to hand out the presents. Oh, he used to love to do that. And he would torture you. He'd make you open them one at a time, and everybody had to watch. Kids don't care about that. Just how many are mine, give them here. But my dad loved that. And as I read this scripture, and I read in Deuteronomy, and I read in Psalms chapter number 1, I think about the heritage that we have as being Christians, of understanding that Christmas is about Jesus, of having the love of family in our home, of being able to get together. And I realize that what comes with this Christmas list is being able to pass that baton to your children. Because we don't know, we're blessed to be here tonight, but we don't know if we make it another year that everybody will be here. We don't know who will have gone on to be with the Lord, young or old. And if it's me, I want my boys to remember that. I want them to remember that it's more than just getting stuff. It's a time of remembering what it's about. It's Jesus. It's a time of being able to come together and show kindness and love that maybe you wouldn't show any other time. Because Christmas is the beginning of eternity. Remember this morning, Christmas was the beginning of the blood of Jesus. And how many people on our Christmas list have already gone to spend Christmas with Jesus? I want you, if you would, to play that video one more time. And it's just a time, if you want to pray, you can come pray. If you got somebody on your heart you want to pray about, you can do that. But it's a time we can remember how good God's been to us. A time we can remember how blessed we are. Maybe a time just to say, "Lord, thank you for your goodness." As they play this, if you'd like to come, we're going to have just a few minutes to give you an opportunity to reflect on it. Go ahead.
There's a blanket of snow covering up the old road to the house where I was raised. Through the window I see the lights on the tree and a glow from the old fireplace. Though it all looks the same, so much has changed from the way it used to be. Christmas memories, happy years gone by, they come back to me, keep me warm inside. Still though Now the stockings are filled, the old house is still, and the kids are all dreaming away. There's that old easy chair, me and Daddy sit there, waiting for Santa's sleigh. Now Daddy has gone, but we'll carry on, 'cause the little one still needs Christmas memories. Happy years gone by, they come back.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. You know, I'm glad I'm saved, glad I know the Lord. And I want the rest of my Christmases to honor God. You know, sometimes the truth is we have good memories, and sometimes we don't, not all of our memories are good. But God wants to bless. God wants to help. And I believe God wants your life to honor Him. Sometimes we go through things, and what God wants us to do is take everything that we have going forward and honor Him. Because the truth is, you can't go back and change what's behind you. Amen. Anybody have anything for the Lord you'd not like to say tonight? We have a little bit of time. We're not going to, we're going to go eat in just a minute. But if you've got anything you'd like to say for the Lord at all, please be at liberty to do so.